If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to deal with an important subject of hijab according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But let's listen to a short biography before we start our program. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Javid, we are still talking about hijab and, you know, around this issue. And I'm going to start up this episode with this question. Would you tell our audience and shed some light on some of the Sharia guidelines or religious laws about the interactions with the opposite sex?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it is permissible to interact with the opposite sex if it does not lead to something forbidden, to something haram, or to temptation, of course. And when it is not accompanied with lust or intention of seeking pleasure. And we know very well that sometimes this kind of interaction, an interaction with the opposite sex may lead to something haram, okay? If it is feared, if it is genuinely feared that the interaction with the opposite sex may cause either side or both the parties to get involved in a sinful act or to fall into a sin, of course, it's not permissible. So it's very important to be very careful and not to exceed the limits, not to express love or, to flirt with the girl and to be flirtatious, that's absolutely forbidden. Mm-hmm. So one has to observe the limits when interacting with the opposite gender, with men or women, of course, and the Sharia standards are very clear. One should guard himself or herself so as not to fall into a sin. And when it's feared that he or she might fall into a sin, then he should stay away, and she should stay away from the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much for that answer. And another question, somehow similar. What is the ruling or religious law on a girl walking with a young man in a university campus or a public place and interacting with each other, talking about matters of study and general subjects, of course, without expressing love and affection toward each other?
Well, there is no problem in this kind of interaction. If one abides by Sharia rules and Sharia standards, it's necessary for an individual to be careful about his religion or her religion. As I said, mm-hmm. chatting to a person or speaking to a person of the opposite gender leads sometimes to emotional attachment, which will assist Shaitan in fueling and inspiring one's carnal desire. Mm-hmm. Therefore, one should always be on guard against falling into what is forbidden. As I said, if it is likely, or if one fears that he might get tempted, then he should not interact with a person from the opposite gender.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, but we'll be back and continue our questions around hijab and the like, or the issues of the same nature, inshallah, after the break. Stay with us. La ilaha
illallah, wallahu akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the subject is still hijab and the like. We are asking questions regarding different issues like the interaction between the opposite sex and religious laws about them. Shirchavit, I'm going to ask you this question about, again, interaction between the opposite sex. And the question is, what is the ruling on a young man's friendship with a girl, for example, in a university? If the Sharia rules and the legal criteria or religious criteria, such as not looking with lust, as you rightly mentioned before, or not touching, for example, and the same things, are taken care of. By friendship, I mean like they sit together, they talk together, they laugh, they sit at the same table in a restaurant, you know? So what's the religious law about their friendship?
That's a good question, and that's what we see normally in our day-to-day life, for example, in different places. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, many young women have no idea about Islamic instruction and Islamic teachings and Islamic laws, and therefore they end up, you know, making friends with opposite gender. To be very frank, I would say that according to the religious authority, friendship between a man and a woman is not permissible, no matter where the friendship takes place and what the purpose of the friendship is. Maybe in a university campus, a girl might end up becoming the friend of a man. That's not permissible, because friendship usually it ends up in physical contact and maybe is some kind of haram activity or intimacy or something like that. And therefore, friendship in any sense between two non-mahram is not allowed. So sitting, talking and laughing and joking, of course, these things are not allowed, because, you know, how can a man start laughing and joking and, you know, cracking jokes with a non-mahram woman when, you know, when it's very much likely that the very act itself is not allowed, okay? Let alone the consequences of this practice, because the two sides might start or might end up falling into a sin as a result of becoming friends.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Javid, another question somehow related. You know, we all know that in today's or modern world, there is more interaction between the opposite sexes, right? And yes, in some places, it's more than ever, and it's more than the other workplaces. For example, I'm talking about hospitals and banks, all right? So yes, what's the ruling on this kind of mixing between the sexes in these places?
Well, sometimes mixing is inevitable. Like when you go to public places, like, you know, railway station, yes, you know, bus terminal and airport, you see men and women mixing up, you know, they want one, for example, people going to different directions, you know.
Right.
So that's inevitable. And also the position is the same with men and women working together in the same place, like a hospital, like banks, you know. Everyone is doing his or her own job without, you know, and everyone is confident that he's not going to fall into a sin. So everyone, as long as he is or she is busy doing his job or her job, mm-hmm, there's no objection to him or her. So when one is confident that he or she is not going to fall into a sin, there's no problem in such kind of mixing or blending, you know, such kind of amalgamation.
Mm-hmm. Well, due to the nature of some of these works, as you already mentioned, like in the hospital, for example, where men and women mix and spend more than 7 hours together, is it permissible for them to talk to the nurses, for example, doctors, for example, outside work, or laugh with them? You know, what is the extent of the legitimate relationship between them?
Well, talking is one thing and laughing is another. You know, talking to a non-mahram woman is not forbidden per se. Mm. It is permissible.
Yes.
You know, doctors talk to the nurses and nurse patients talk to the doctors, and that is a routine thing. That's something normal.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually forbidden for the conversation to be in a lustful manner and with the intention of seeking pleasure. The believer must know that's Shaitan has pitfalls, and traps to snare him, to put him into a sin, especially with regard to the relationship between a man and a woman and mixing. Of course, he should be very careful to avoid pitfalls of shaitan and to make sure that that he will not fall into a sin as a result of being in the company of non-mahram men.
Mm-hmm.
If he guards himself, if he protects himself, and if he is confident that he will not fall into a sin, there is no objection to him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Shabit. Thank you very much for listening to the program. Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Man La ilaha illa hum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sami'un Basir La ilaha illa hum وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا